Good morning. Thank you, Herb, for leading us in such a spirited worship service this morning. And thank you so much for joining in as we've raised our voices in praise to God. I've been overwhelmed with the positive encouragement that I've received from the past sermon series. In fact, this morning I met several people in the hall that said, "What's the object this morning?" And I said, "Well, I don't have one for this morning." And they were so disappointed. So I hope that you're not too disappointed this morning that there's not an object. I originally had planned on that series being four parts, but it rounded off real nicely in three as we looked at soul search from Psalm 139. I felt like I'd pretty well covered the topic, and so we're ready to move on to something else this morning. And so hopefully the lesson this morning will also be of tremendous benefit to you in your Christian walk. As I mentioned to you last week, we've started producing some handouts for the sermon. They're not in the pews this week. I told you last week they were going to be out front. So if you didn't get one, don't get up now. It's too late. You missed it. But from now on, if you want a handout, they're going to be in the foyer. They're going to be at all the places near the doors when you come in where the bulletins are. So be sure and pick one up. It'll help you follow along with the sermon. And on the back side, again, is the kids' sermon sheet. And the offer still stands. I had about 20 kids bombard me last week with their completed sheets. And they got a prize for completing their sheets, and you will again this morning. If you've completed the sheet on the back side, I'll have something for you in the foyer, so come see me at the end, and I'll give you your prize. I grew up with a father and two brothers and a sister, and we were all builders. Growing up on a small farm, you learn to build things. We built pole barns to house hay for the cows. We built and repaired roofs on the barns when they needed repair. We built deer stands to go hunting in the winter for food. I mean, really, if it hadn't been for that venison, I don't know if we'd have made it some of those winters. We built lots of things. Anytime a piece of equipment would fail, we would pull out the welder and make repairs and build tools for the moment. We built all kinds of things. Even as little kids, I remember me and my brothers and my cousins going out in the woods and building forts to play in. We built clubhouses. I mean, you name it, we built it. We were a family of builders. And it's been in my blood ever since. I love to build things. I love to make things. I love to make something out of nothing and make something new. There's something exciting about the building process. I want to share with you this morning that I'm convinced that we should all have that kind of spirit as Christians. That as Christians, we must be builders. We should be in the process of sharing our faith with other people and essentially building new disciples. Jesus said that's our mission, that as we're going about our daily walks of life, we should be in the business of making disciples, building people to follow Jesus, showing them, instructing them, guiding them to be a follower of our Lord. And also when it comes to the church, we should all be engaged in the work of building up the body of Christ, encouraging each other, sometimes admonishing each other, nudging each other along, gentle encouragement here, some firm rebuke perhaps there, but all for the same purpose, to help each other to follow Jesus better, to help us to get to heaven together. We're in the process of building. God has given us that task of building His house. There are a lot of metaphors in the New Testament. Lots of objects. Lots of imagery that is used to describe us as God's people. But one of those images, one of those metaphors is that the church, you and me, the people of God, are called God's house. I kind of like that. Doesn't that sound inviting? Doesn't that sound warm? Doesn't that sound like a place you want to be? Is in God's house. Well, that's what we are, and that's what we've been given as a task, is to continue to be God's people, continue to be God's house, and continue to build it, to make it grow, make it flourish, and nourish it, and make it to be all that it can be. So I want us to look at some passages this morning that talk about us being God's house and what our job is to be in building God's house. The first one is there in 1 Corinthians 3 that you see on the screen, verses 5 through 15. Now, when we look at this passage in 1 Corinthians 3, it starts out by Paul talking about how that when he comes to the church at Corinth, he's done the work in initially building the foundation of Christ's teaching in their hearts and establishing a fellowship for Jesus in the city of Corinth. Now, there are others that had come along and had built on that foundation. There were other teachers and preachers, most notably Apollos, who had come in behind him and had tried to continue that work and continue to build God's house in that place. And so Paul's talking about that, but he wants his readers to understand that all of the people that have been contributing toward building God's house are just servants. That we're all in the same work together. And we all have a part to play in building God's house. But ultimately, it's not our house, it's His. And so we see in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 5, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one." We're all in this thing together, you see. "And each one will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are all God's fellow workers. We are God's field. We are God's building." Now again, Paul is jumping around with images here, different metaphors to describe who we are as God's people. He says, we're like God's field. We're like God's hired hands on his farm, building things, building his house. But then he says, we're God's building. Paul says in verse 10 that as a master craftsman, a master builder, I laid the foundation and someone else is building upon it, but each person needs to take care as to how he builds. You need to build with care. Now, a few observations about this text. First of all, let's jump off of that one metaphor. We are God's building. All of us together are God's house, His building. And we're all working together to try to build it up, to try to make it flourish and grow. But look at what he says here. He says, you are God's co-workers. You are in partnership with the grand architect, the one who knew how to make the oceans and their depths, the one who knew how to put the sparkle in the stars, the one who knew how to breathe breath into the lungs of man and woman. The grand architect himself is still in the work of building. And now he's building his people. He's building us, the church. But here's the wonderful thing about it. He's contracted you in that process. He has enlisted you and me to be co-workers with him in this process of building his house. And that's just an amazing thing to think about. I mean, let me just share with you an illustration that maybe would help. My brother lives in Middle Tennessee. He's 2 years younger than I am, and he works in the realm of agriculture. Works for the co-op, and he sells feed and he sells fertilizer and all these things that farmers need for their farms to really do well. And he goes around and he talks to farmers, and he gives them advice and consultation about what they need on their field or what they need for their cow herd or whatever the case may be. Well, in the Nashville area, there are a lot of country music stars that live in that area. And my brother has had the privilege of sometimes pulling up at a farm only to realize this is a real famous country music star's farm. And he's met some of these people. And it's an amazing thing whenever you get out and you start working with a guy that's running the farm on trying to help with his horses, and then here comes one of the singers for Brooks and Dunn comes walking out there, and you're talking with him about his horses. You know, it's an amazing thing to work with somebody side by side to do something. And you kind of stand in awe of this being a celebrity. Well, now that's nothing. You are co-working with God in His building, in His farm, His field. And He's saying, I want you right here beside me building the thing that's been in my mind's eye since even before the foundation of the world. And I need you to be involved in this process of building my house. If you've ever built a house or ever had any major renovation work done on your house, maybe you can relate to this. I'm kind of a handyman around the house. Michelle and I have tried to do some renovation to the house that we live in. It needed some work done on it when we bought it. And so there's some things I can do. I can hold a paintbrush. I can nail a nail. There's some things I can do. I can do some minimal plumbing work and some electrical work. But there were some things that house needed that I couldn't do because I don't have the skill set. I don't have the training. And so what did I do? What would you do? You contract someone out who has specific skills and abilities that you don't have to be able to come in and use their skills, their specialized skills, to contribute toward the building of that house. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. God has gifted all of us with different, various gifts and abilities and skill sets. And basically, God is saying, we're co-workers together in this project, and I've gifted all of you with talents and abilities, and if we're going to get this work done, I'm contracting you out to use the gifts you have, the talents you have, to contribute toward building this house. God places a lot of confidence in you and me, and in the gifts that He's instilled within us. He believes that we are vital, that you are vital, every one of us, toward the building of His house. But then He says you need to build with care. The foundation's already been laid. Jesus Christ is that foundation, and it can't be changed. So He says you need to make sure and take care with how you are building on that foundation. So I want to ask you this morning, are you listening? I'm not asking the person down in the pew, or even the one sitting beside you. I'm asking you, what are you contributing toward the building of God's house? What are you doing to use the talents and skills God has injected within you? Because God is saying, I'm contracting you. I need you. I need you to be engaged. I need you to be involved. I need you to be building with care on the foundation that I've put before you. It's the work that you were made to do. But you know what? Sometimes on a building site, I've seen this happen. Maybe you have too, or maybe you've heard news reports about it. You've got a building site and they've brought all the materials on the site. They're getting ready to build this house and they got a pile of lumber here. They got boxes of nails over here. They may even bring in some heavy equipment. Maybe a ditch witch is over here, or maybe a backhoe is over there. Have you heard of these situations where all the materials have been gathered to build a house, and some of the workers that were enlisted to try to build that house in the middle of the night steal some of the equipment? They make off with the tools. They hotwire the bobcat and take off with it. Or they think nobody will miss it if I take a pallet of this sheetrock or I take a few 2x4s, they'll never miss it. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. Are you trying to live in God's house, but you're not contributing toward it? If so, it may be like you're kind of stealing from God's house. Wanting the benefit of living in God's house, but contributing little or nothing to it, to the building up of it. You see, God is challenging you. He's challenging me. I need you to be involved in building my house. And I expect you to be engaged in it. Well, what are the materials that are used when we build God's house? What kind of materials are we talking about? I mean, are we talking about bricks and mortar here? Are we talking about shingles and sheetrock? What are we talking about when we're talking about building God's house? What are the materials that are used? Well, let's look at this one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. In 1 Peter chapter 2, if we kind of look at the context here, Peter is talking about how that each one of us are precious to God. In God's sight, verse number 4, all of us mean something. All of us. Now think about that. You are precious to God. You're special to Him. And He's got great things in mind for you. And we keep reading here in 1 Peter 2, verse 4. He says, verse 5, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up to a spiritual house." You're being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. So look at this. Even though there are others that have rejected the living stone, the stone of all stones, Jesus Christ, He's the ultimate stone. But then Peter says, listen, God is saying each one of you is a living stone. You and I, we, the people, are the building materials that God is using to build His house. When you think about the church is not a lifeless organization full of programs and events that just happen out of nowhere. The church is the people. You and me, we are living stones. And so the church is only going to be effective when we, the people, are working and are contributing toward the cause of constructing God's house. We're building together in this thing. All of us, you and me, we're built together. And we're built together for a purpose. God is laser focused on what His intention is for you and me being engaged, using our abilities and talents, contracting out the work of building this house. What is the work? We're to be a holy priesthood, Peter says. What is a priest? A priest is someone who stands between God and other people, and he bridges the gap. He brings people into relationship with God. God is counting on you. The people around you that don't know Jesus, your neighbors and your friends and your family that are outside of the safety of Christ, how are they going to hear about Him? How are they going to be saved? God is counting on you. He's contracted you out as a living stone to share that message, to be a priest. We are ministers of the gospel, all of us, to help the hurting, to seek the lost, and to administer the cure that only Jesus can provide. And we're all built together for this purpose. Now, God uses these images. He uses it through His inspired writers. We've seen it here in two different places, in 1 Corinthians and in 1 Peter. This idea that we as God's people are God's building. We are God's house. But God doesn't want you and I to maybe get the wrong idea about that metaphor. You know, all illustrations, all object lessons have their strengths and have their deficiencies. Because where you can make a parallel here, the illustration falls down there. Well, that's true of the idea of a building. Because if you think of a building, if God calling us His building, in terms of that, like, once it's built, the job is done. And now it just sits there as kind of an immovable, static object. You get the wrong idea. And that's why in other places, God would use other language, other illustrations to demonstrate who we are as His people. We are not an immovable structure in the sense of being His building. But instead, being God's building, we are of the work of continuing to build to be a body of Christ that is on the move. Look at Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, this is the last one I want us to look at this morning. In Ephesians 4 that was read for us, Paul says that God has put into place in His church various leaders. Some have the job of being apostles, others the job of being prophets and pastor teachers. All different roles of leadership. Well, what is the purpose of leadership? The purpose of leadership is to help other people that are following behind to get to where they need to go. So he says he gave all of these different leaders, verse number 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is only complete when all of us are equipped and active and involved in the work of ministry. Now, if we keep reading down around about verse number 15 from the NIV, from Him that is Christ, the whole body is joined together by every supporting ligament, and it grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. See, the only way that the church is going to grow is when each part is doing its work. Do you see this language here? The language is used of the body building itself. We are to be in the process of building the body of Christ, the gathering of God's people. In the process of contributing to the work of the ministry, each one of us doing our part to grow the church. Now, a lot of times we think there's some kind of magic pill that we can take to make that happen. There's no shortage of resources out there. You can go to all kind of conferences today as a church leader that'll give you some kind of easy 10-step plan to easy church growth, or go to the local bookstore and you can find a church growth book, and there's no shortage of experts that'll tell you how to grow the church. But the only passage that I know about in the whole New Testament that talks about the real key to church growth, which by the way is from God and trumps all the experts, is this passage right here that says the body will grow in love when, what happens? When each part is doing its part. When each person is contributing. When every person has been equipped by the leadership to do the work of the ministry. You see, there's no magic pill to church growth. It's not, well, if we just hire the right preacher, if we just hire the right staff person, or if we just had this, or if we just had that. Now, there are catalysts for involvement. Sometimes when those things happen, it serves as kind of a spark that gets people all of a sudden that have been sitting disengaged, thinking about getting engaged, and we need catalysts. But ultimately, the growth only happens whenever each person is doing their part. Now, in this passage, he says the reason we need that to happen is because we don't need the church being tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine, but we need to grow into maturity. Many times churches that grow very quickly and seemingly pop up overnight and grow fast, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes are very dangerous. Because it's like a tree. Growing up on the farm, we cut a lot of wood for the heat in the winter time, and I learned what an elm was versus what a hackberry was. And Dad taught us how to identify different types of trees. And I can remember going to one particular grove of trees, and I pointed to them and I said, "Dad, why don't we cut those trees for firewood?" And he said, "Well, they don't make very good firewood." And he began to talk to me about what those trees were. He said, "Those trees grow really, really fast. But because they grow so fast, when a strong wind comes, they blow right over because there's no deep roots in the ground." You see, churches that are consistent and steady and grow strong and mature are the ones where people are engaged in that gathering, committed to that gathering, and engaged, every person contributing their part and doing the hard, heavy lifting of saying, I'm going to do everything within my power to do what I can do in my realm of ministry with the gifts God has given me to contribute toward the building up of the body of Christ and building God's house. Now, I want to say to you this morning that you need to be a part of that. Are you listening? I said you need to be a part of that. Now, we as leaders of this church, the elders, the shepherds of this flock, and the ministers of this church are here to help you in every way we possibly can. Because I know it's tough sometimes to figure out exactly what has God gifted me with? What can I do to make a difference? Well, we're here to try to equip you and be resources for you to equip you in the work of the ministry, to find what you're passionate about, what you've been gifted in, what your talents are, and find a way to take that and plug that in to make a difference toward building God's house. Now, there are several ways in which we have avenues to try to help you in that regard. Sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly what your gift is. Ever since Benjamin Curvin came to be with us as our outreach and involvement minister, he's been very excited about, and many of you have taken, his motivational gifts course. That class is going to continue to be offered on a periodic basis, and so anytime that an opportunity comes up and that class is offered, I want to strongly encourage you, if you've not already, to sign up for that class. Because it's specifically designed to figure out, what has God gifted you with? What are your motivational gifts? But then also, we need to know where your interest lies. You know, sometimes some of us are interested in different things. You're interested in maybe one area of ministry and that I, quite frankly, have very little or if any interest in, and vice versa. What are you interested in? Well, we need a mechanism to be able to find out what you're interested in. This week, you should have received in your email a link that would take you to our church website that included an online survey of what your interests are and how we can pair up your interest with a particular area of work or need in the building up of God's house here in this place. I hope that you've taken that if you got that link, but some of you may not have gotten it, or you don't do the online thing, and so we have hard copies available today that we want to encourage you to fill out before you leave to be able to tell us where your interests lie. And so we're here to help you. We're here to help each other, to make sure that we're all together being builders for God's building, to grow and develop and make as strong as we can God's house here in this place. Now, as we wrap up, let me say that the first place to start is to make sure that you're involved in God's family, that you're a part of God's family. Some of you out there today have been sitting in these pews for a long time. And you've heard lots of sermons. And you've prayed a lot and you've studied a lot. And some of you are sitting there and you know that you've never committed your life fully to Jesus and you've never been baptized into Christ. Some of you have been contemplating that for a long time. Some of you have been contemplating that only just recently, getting to a point in your life where that really is becoming something that you need to think long and hard about. And so the first place to get involved is to accept Jesus and accept following Him as a disciple. And so if we can help you with that, I want to say to you, that's the place to start. And that's where you need to start today. Or maybe you've done that and you are a Christian, but you've just kind of disengaged. You know, maybe once you were pretty involved in the church, but for whatever reason, maybe you were hurt. Maybe you were offended. Maybe you weren't used like you should have been used. I don't know what the reason might be. But for whatever reason, you've kind of put it in neutral. Yeah, you're still coming, you're still sitting in a pew on Sunday, but you're not real involved, you're not real active, you're not real plugged in. I want to beg you this morning to realize that you're a part of something that is much bigger than yourself and much bigger than anybody sitting around you, much bigger than this eldership, much bigger than these ministers, much bigger than this building, much bigger than this congregation. You are a part of something that's been in the mind of God since the very beginning to build His people. You are called for that. You were made for that. That is why you are on this planet, and you need to get engaged. If we can help you, we want to, as we stand and as we sing.